I want to take as my text this morning a very well-known phrase in verse 30 of 1 Samuel chapter 2, when the Lord declares, "Be it far from me, for them that honour me I will honour, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Paying particular attention to that little part of the verse, "them that honour me, I will honour." These are the words of the Lord. In their immediate context, to Eli the priest. I think Eli may have been somewhat surprised to receive these words. I think he may have been somewhat surprised to receive a specific and direct word from the Lord. I say that for a number of reasons. If you look at chapter 3 and the verse 1, I was tempted to finish the reading with this verse, but we stopped at the end of the chapter. But if you look at chapter 3 and verse 1, it tells us the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord. And just let me say a little word to the boys and girls. If you're saved, if you're a Christian, then there is a little work for you to do for the Lord. You can minister, you can serve the Lord, even as children. For Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. But here's the point that I'm stressing in relation to Eli perhaps being surprised he received this word from the Lord. For it tells us the word of the Lord was precious in those days. And if you have a margin in your Bible, you'll see that the word precious could be translated rare. We talk about a precious stone, and we often think of the idea that the stone that is precious is valuable, and it is. It costs a lot of money, but the reason it costs a lot of money is because it's rare. There's not many of them. And that's the meaning here. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. There was no open vision or open proclamation or preaching. Such was the apostasy, and we'll see how deep the apostasy was a little later in the message. But such was the apostasy in the land that there was very little preaching of God's word publicly. There was a form of religion being carried on in the tabernacle. Hophni and Phinehas, the priests, were overseeing that. Eli was the old age priest, their father. But while there was a form of religion taking place, the Lord was not speaking. And the Lord was not ministering directly and powerfully and specifically to the hearts of the people through the prophets. The public ministry of the word, a direct message from God through the prophets, was rare. And therefore, I think that when Eli got this word from the Lord, perhaps he was a little taken aback and surprised. For now the Lord gives him a very clear message about the household of the priests. And it can be summarized, really summarized in those words of our text, "Them that honour me I will honour, but they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Perhaps I'm speaking to someone this morning and God hasn't spoken to you directly, powerfully for quite some time. Hasn't burned or impressed the word of God upon your soul. You know what I'm speaking about. There are times in our Christian experience when the word of God comes with such force and we know that's a word for me. Maybe encouragement, maybe rebuke, maybe challenge, but we know that's a word for me. And maybe that describes you this morning. And today, the Word of God is going to come to your heart as it did to Eli. It has been rare for you to receive a powerful, direct word to your soul. But this morning now, it's coming to you. And it is just as it was to Eli. Them that honor me, I will honor. I think he may have been surprised to receive this word, not only because of how precious or rare the public proclamation of the Word of God was in those days, but if you look at verse 27 of chapter 2, you will see that the word came from an unnamed and an unknown individual. This is really where the message starts. That's why we read the section together. Verse 27 starts another section in the book and the chapter. And it says, there came a man of God unto Eli. We're not told who that man of God was. He's unnamed. It's an interesting study to go through, particularly the Old Testament, and discover men who God used and their names aren't given. Or women God used and their names weren't given. Naaman's little maid is one of them. Here's a man, and we're told nothing about him. He seems to be a prophet, for he begins his message to Eli, "Thus saith the Lord." And that seems to have prophetic force, prophetic authority. But we don't know who he was. I wonder, did Eli even know? I accept that's the realm of speculation. But this man, this unnamed, unknown man, just a man of God. And in those days of apostasy, there was a man of God. There were men of God. And out of nowhere, he appears on the scene of Scripture. And he delivered a message for Eli and his house. And then he disappeared back into obscurity. And sometimes that's how the Lord has things to be in His work. He will use someone. He'll bring them out of obscurity. He'll use them in His service, and then He'll take them back into obscurity. The message that He gave, "Them that honor me, I will honor." I think that Eli was perhaps taken aback to receive this message. An unnamed individual. When the word of the Lord was very rare. And I want to say right at the outset of the message today, this prophet's message went unheeded by Eli. We'll see that as we close this morning. But I want to ask you right now, are you going to pay heed to this message as it comes to you? This divine principle, one of the greatest statements in all the Bible, one of the laws of God's kingdom, them that honor me, honor God. God, the King of the universe, the one who is head of all, who is over all, who controls all. He says, if you honor me, I will honor you. Them that honor me, I will honor. But they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. How will you react to this word of God to your soul? I want you to see a number of things about it. We'll take our points this morning. I want you firstly to see that it was a personal rebuke. These words come to Eli. Sometimes the Word of God's an encouragement. Sometimes it's to lift us up. Sometimes it's to challenge us to do something. And sometimes it rebukes us for doing something wrong that we need to put right. And I'm saying to you that to Eli, this Word was a personal rebuke. Them that honor me, I will honor. You see, at this time, Eli was honoring others above God. There's a principle here in this statement that we should practice, and it is the honor of God. But if you look at verse 29, here's the message. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and at mine offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, And here's the statement that is a tragedy. And honorest thy sons above me. There were men, and in this case it was Eli's two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and he was placing them, their honor, above the honor of God. And the Lord asked the question, honorest thy sons above me? In other words, Eli, I'm rebuking you. Them that honor me, I will honor. But you are honoring your sons above me. Now, I want you to understand this rebuke. I don't want you to misunderstand it. Because to understand this rebuke and the seriousness of God's charge against Eli, we must understand Eli's position and the position of Eli's sons. This is not merely a case of a man of God having an unconverted son or child. There were other men of God who had unconverted children, but were not charged with the same offense or rebuked in the same way that Eli was rebuked. Samuel's one example. Samuel grew, became a man, he had sons, and his sons too were ungodly. But the reason why God rebukes Eli is because his sons were serving priests who have before the Lord, they served in the tabernacle, but they were ungodly men. Look at chapter 2 and verse 12. We didn't read the first part of the chapter, but look at verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Here were men who were officiating in the most sacred office of the day. That of the priest, they were to offer sacrifice on behalf of the people. They were to intercede within the veil for the people. And they were to minister before God on behalf of the people. But Eli's sons, they were the sons of Belial, and they knew not the Lord. And God mentions two of their chief sins. They had many sins. But two of their sins are particularly highlighted and mentioned. Verses 16 and 17 gives you the first one. Look at it. If any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give me it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Wherefore the sin of the young man was very great before the Lord. Verse 16 relates to the sacrifice or the offering being made, and in the Old Testament law, the Lord provided that a portion of the sacrifice or the offering was to be given unto the priests. They that ministered in holy things were to live off the holy things, and a portion of the sacrifice was to be given unto the priests. But what you discover was that the sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, they were taking more than they were permitted by the Lord. So much so that in the passage that we read, they are accused by the Lord of making themselves fat off the people and the offerings. They were using the priest's office for personal greed, for personal gain, to enrich themselves. And they had no thought or care for the people of whom they were ministering to, their spiritual good. Those men were supposed to be pointing individuals to Christ through the work in the tabernacle. and yet they were using that sacred office to enrich themselves in temporal and material things. Then if you look at verse 22, it tells us another one of their sins. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. Now let me just stop there. Can I say to the children and the young people to take note of that verse? Eli may have been very old, but he heard that all his sons did, and it's sinful things they were doing unto all Israel. Children and young people, don't think that your mom and dad don't know what you're getting up to when you're doing things you shouldn't be. They eventually hear. And the older folk here will tell you, they thought they could hide things from mom and dad. And their mum and dad knew, and they found out. And the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. It's just a wee word to the children. As you grow up, as you get older, don't think you can be out on a Friday or a Saturday or some other weeknight and be engaging in sinful things, and you'll keep it all hidden from your person. Eventually, they'll hear. Your sin will find you out. And mum and dad know full well what you're up to, even though you try to hide it from them. So that's just a wee message to the children and young people. But note this verse, because we're pointing out the sin of the priests. We're still there. That's the thought at the moment. This is the reason why Eli is rebuked. It tells us how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. They not only stole from the people and stole from the sacrifices of God and taking more of the portion than they were allowed, but they committed gross acts of immorality. The women who came, and the word assembled could be translated service, the women who came to serve at the tabernacle, they engaged in immorality and adultery with those women. These were the priests. These were the men who were supposed to be living up to the moral standards of God's word. And they were immoral wretches. And they corrupted the priesthood with immorality and with greed, using it for filthy lucre. The tragedy was that Eli, who heard about it and knew about it, refused to deal with his sons and put them from the sacred office. He perhaps could not have stopped them from various sins or influenced them against those sins, but he had the power and authority to put them out of the office of the priest. But he honored his sons more than he honored God, and therefore he turned a blind eye to the apostasy that had set in. And God rebuked them. They that honor me, I will honor. And I wonder, is there something or someone in your life that is contrary to God's word or to God's law? Something that evidently displeases the Lord, and by continuing in it, you are dishonoring God. And you are honoring that person or that thing. You're placing the honor of it above the honor of God. If that is the case, then this word comes to you as a rebuke. They that honor me, I will honor, but they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Are you honoring the Lord in His day? Are you honoring the Lord in His law and His ways? Are you seeking to honor the Lord in your home? In your relationships, if there's someone or something and you're placing that honor above the honor of God, then this word comes as a challenging rebuke to your soul to put the matter right. I want you to notice, secondly, that This word was not only a personal rebuke, but it sets forth a powerful requirement. Them that honor me. There's what God requires. That's what God is looking for. That's the duty of God's people, to honor God. And that's the expectation the Lord has for His people. He expects us to honor Him above and beyond everyone and everything else. Let me just say in passing that there are others that God expects and demands us to honor on this earth. We are, in the words of Paul in Romans 13 and 7, to give honor unto whom honor is due. Children are to honor their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother. That's the commandment of the Lord. They have authority over you as you grow up. We're not to view them or use them as a gift, as the Lord rebuked in the Sermon on the Mount. We're not to seek to bring shame or dishonor upon them. We are to honor them. We are to honor kings and civil rulers. 1 Peter 2 and 17, love the brotherhood. Yes, we're to love our brethren and sisters in the Lord. Fear God and honor the king. And the king in that verse is speaking about the one who has civil authority and rules over men. And when and in all matters where the civil authority is not contrary to God's word, we are to honor it and submit ourselves to it and to them. We're to honor the king in all matters and areas where the civil authority is not contrary to God's word. We're to give them honor. Submit. We're to honor the elders of the church. 1 Timothy 5 and 17. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor. God has a government in His church. He has rule. He has authority. And the elders are the oversight. Presbyterianism has always distinguished between ruling elders and teaching elders. And it's based on this verse, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word and doctrine. And they that labor in the word and doctrine is the teaching elder, but there are ruling elders. And Paul says, those that rule well are to be counted worthy of double honor. But while there is authority and offices that God has divinely instituted on this earth for the good governance of society. There's the family. Honor our parents. There's the civil authority. Honor the king. While there's government in the church, we're to honor the elders. Yet above and beyond everything and everyone else, we are to honor the Lord. What does that mean? It means we are to give Him His rightful place in our lives. We are to reverence Him. We are to obey Him. We are to put Him first above all else in our lives. And above everything else, we are to honor God. And when something else conflicts with the Lord and His kingdom and His laws, we are to honor Him above the other things. Let me ask and seek to answer the question, how are we to honor God? How do you honor God? I want you to take your Bible. I'm going to mention three or four verses very quickly. I'm going to leap through them. I'm just mentioning them in passing. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. We honor God with true worship. This is a tremendous verse, and we could spend much longer in it, but let me say we honor God with true worship. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9. The Lord says, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And he's speaking about the subject of worship. He's speaking about the Pharisees who came to the synagogue, who came to the temple, and they worshiped God with their lips. They said the right things. They offered prayer. They sang or they chanted their psalms. The word of God was opened and read. They worshiped God with their lips. But he says, your heart's far from me. And my friend, if that's all worship is to you, then you're not truly worshiping God. If worship's only lip service. Listen, you can say the right things. You can sing the right things. You can pray the right things. You can read the right things. But if it's only lip service, it's meaningless. The Lord wants us to worship Him from our hearts. And our hearts to be devoted unto Him. Yes, we have to sing to worship Him. We have to pray to worship Him. We have to preach and hear the Word to worship Him. But He wants it from the heart. And He's saying that in vain you worship me if you're only paying lip service. You can honor me with your lips, but if your heart's far from me, it's meaningless. True heart worship honors God. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 4. You'll see another way in which we honor God. Not only true worship, but a sanctified life honors God. Paul says, let's just read verse 3, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, for this is the will of God. Even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel. The vessel is the body. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification. Sanctification is holy living. It's a dying unto sin and a living unto God. And Paul says, everyone that is a believer, you should know how to possess your vessel or your body in sanctification and honor. And I say from this verse, living a sanctified, a holy life in the flesh and in the body honors God. Defiling the body, abusing the body, sinning through the body or with the body or by the body, it dishonors God. But possessing our vessel and our body in sanctification, it honors God. That's another way, living a pure and a holy life. True worship honors God. Genuine service for God. Just turn over to 2 Timothy. Just a few pages in your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 2. We're picking up here in the word honor. So, honoring God with our lips, but our heart being far from Him, that doesn't honor Him. That dishonors Him. Worshipping God from the heart, that truly honors Him. Living a sanctified, holy life in the body, that honors God. Look at 2 Timothy 2 and 20. But in a great house, and the house is the picture of the church, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Different vessels. Different people with different gifts, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now the vessel in the house was used to serve. So in the old house in biblical days, you would have had a vessel would have brought in water or wine to be served. It was used in service within the house. Perhaps you would have had nice silver cutlery, and it was used in service for those in the house to eat their meal. You see the point that I'm making? The vessel was used in the service of the house. And Paul, writing to Timothy, he says, some vessels are to honor and some to dishonor. Those that were used in the work of the house were vessels unto honor. That's service. And therefore, in genuine service for the Lord, when we're serving Him for the benefit of His kingdom, we are honoring Him. And we are vessels unto honour. We honour the Lord with true worship, with holy lives, with genuine service, and with sacrificial giving. Proverbs chapter 3. And I think you'll know these verses. Proverbs chapter 3, and it's verse 9 and 10. Honour the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst forth out with new wine. We honour the Lord when we give Him the first fruits of all our increase. You know, there's a little lesson in sacrificial giving. The Old Testament, they were to honour or give the Lord of the first fruits. Not the leftovers, but the first fruits. The Lord says, when you honour me with your substance and the first fruits of all your increase, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty. The Lord's no man's debtor. He always repays. We honour the Lord then with sacrificial giving, with genuine service, with holy lives, and with true worship. This is what the Lord requires and requests of His people. Them that honour me, are we honouring God in our lives? But I want you to notice finally, there's not only a personal rebuke and a powerful requirement, there is a promised reward. Turn back again to 1 Samuel chapter 2 and look at the text. One of the greatest statements in all the Bible, them that honour me, I will honour. The Lord is no man's debtor. He always blesses and honours those who personally and publicly honour Him and honour His ways, who stand with Him, who side with Him, who support His cause and His ways and His laws. He always honours them. Jesus said in John 12 and 26, if any man serve me, him will my Father honour. If any man. That includes you. If any man serve me, him will my Father honour. And we can give biblical examples. Time would fail us this morning to go through them all. I can think of the Hebrew midwives in Exodus chapter 1. What heroines of the faith they were. For when Herod said, put all the baby boys in Egypt among the Hebrews to death. Those Hebrew midwives, they refused the command of the king because it was contrary to the command of God. And they saved and they spared the boy or the male children when they were born. And the Bible tells us in Exodus 1 and 21 that God gave them houses. That doesn't mean bricks and mortar. It means He gave them family and He gave them heritage and a pedigree. He gave them houses in Israel because they honored Him and they honored His word. And He honored them. We could think of Daniel who refused to be defiled with the king's meat. He honored God and He honored God's laws even in a far off land where everybody else and even among His own peers who were Jews, they were eating and dining from the king's table. But it would defile him after the ceremonial law. And so he said no. He refused the king's meat. And it was Daniel who became ruler in Babylon, the chief prince under the king. God promoted him because he honored the Lord. Young person, will you honor the Lord in your life? Knowing that the Lord in response will honor you. Older person, as time moves on, will you be steadfast and honor God in His ways and not turn back? Yes, we can give biblical examples. But let me give a more modern example. Verse 30 of 1 Samuel chapter 2 has come to be known among many believers as Eric Liddell's text. Eric Liddell was a Scotsman. He went on to be a missionary in the land of China before he died in a Japanese prisoner of war camp in 1945. But in 1924, as a young man, Eric Liddell was a tremendous athlete. He would represent Great Britain at the 1924 Olympics. You probably and possibly know the story well. Eric Liddell's best event was the 100 meters. It was felt that he had every possibility of winning a medal and even winning the gold. But as Eric Liddell left with the British team, it was discovered that the heats for that particular race, the 100 meters, would be held on a Sunday, the Lord's Day. And as an old-time Scottish Presbyterian, Eric Liddell would not desecrate the Lord's Day. He wouldn't desecrate the Sabbath by doing that which was unnecessary and running in a competition, running even the heat in the Olympics. And so he told his superiors he would refuse to run in that race. Immense pressure was placed upon him. He was told that it was an honor to represent his country. He was told it was an honor to represent his king. But Liddell thought it to be a greater honor to obey the Lord. And he steadfastly refused to be involved in anything on the Lord's Day that would desecrate it. He was entered then into the 400 meters, which was his another event. Not sure if it was the second event, but it was another event. He competed in. He was about to run the final. Or before he ran the final of the 400 meters, the 1924 Paris Olympics. An individual, unknown, maybe known to Liddell. I think I'm right in saying that it is unknown who that individual was. Put a little piece of paper in Liddell's hand. And when that message, that piece of paper was opened, it said this. In the old book it says, "Them that honor me, I will honor. Wishing you the best of success." And on the 11th of July, 1924, Eric Liddell not only won the gold medal at the 1924 Olympics in Paris, but he did so by setting a new world record. "Them that honor me, I will honor." To every believer, I encourage you, take your stand for God. Honor Him, follow Him, observe His laws, live by His commands, and God will honor you in life. For I close this morning with a warning. While there is a promised reward, the statement concludes, "They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Eli did not take heed of the rebuke or the principle, or the message that he received from the unknown man of God. His sons continued in their evil apostate ways in the priesthood, and Eli continued to ignore their sin. Yes, he spoke to them meekly, timidly about it, but he refused to remove them from the office. And therefore God's word was fulfilled. They both died in one day. And Eli, he died also. Hearing the news his sons had died, he fell off his stool and he broke his neck. And the Lord removed those apostate men. And Eli was taken home to glory. And the Lord, as he said, would raise up another. Raise up another in his place. My friend, if you don't honor God and side with God and stand with God, the Lord will raise up others who will. And he'll bless them. And in Eli's case, he raised up Samuel. that little child who served and ministered the Lord in the temple, and Samuel led the nation from Ichabod. The glory of the Lord has departed. He led the nation from ruin, being defeated by their enemies, the Philistines. He led them from Ichabod and ruin and defeat to revival blessing, when the people cried out, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us and blessed us." But in doing so, the Lord removed Hophni and Phinehas and called Eli home. "They that despise me shall be lightly esteemed." Samuel is known and remembered as a man who honored God. Hophni and Phinehas are remembered as men who despise God and were lightly esteemed. "Them that honor me, I will honor." Will you take heed of God's message to your soul today?